Last week on Living the Dream podcast, Pastor David from Green Level Baptist Church shared his backstory and how he came to North Carolina and his calling into ministry.
But two of my favorite quotes, sort of outside of the Bible, one was by a guy named Christopher Wright. And he says, it's not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission.
Amen.
God's yes. Mission. And then John Stott says, mission is the global outreach of the global people of the world of God.
In the exciting conclusion of this week's episode, Pastor David unpacks how recently in the history of his 150-year-old church, they've become more multi-generational and multi-ethnic, and what this looked like for Green Level Baptist Church.
Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with it.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission
and help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show. Take the lid off logistically and administratively. Like, I really want to help our listeners get an understanding. This is not a white church serving an international community. This is a church that has transformed into an international community. You have deacons and elders from other nationalities serving in your church. I mean, this is not just let the Caucasian Western world tell the community what the gospel looks like and what church is going to be. This is a genuine partnership, multinational partnership that exists as a local church. So can you just describe your leaders? And you've done a good job helping us get a view of Awana. I'd really like for you just to share briefly the makeup of the church and even how the English congregation relates to the Chinese congregation and the Tamil congregation, and how do you exist as one church? Are they separate churches? Just what would you like to share about that?
Yeah, and Kevin, it's okay. I'd love to have Angela chime in on that.
Yes, please.
But what I would say up front is, you know, we still have growth. I mean, in that area, I would say that we are in the early days of that. I mean, we certainly, I would say it is a core value to be multi-generational and to be multi-ethnic. And again, I've already laid that out, but it's not grounded in like, oh, well, this would be a good thing to be. It's no, I mean, we believe this is who God is and what God is doing. And so, like, you know, this is this. So, I mean, we're grounding it in his mission. Mm-hmm. But we have a deacon. We kind of have a setup right now of pastor, staff, deacons, and we have a deacon who is a Tamil brother. And I guess what I would share in as far as leading our church in that way is he is the leader of or one of the leaders of our prayer ministry right now as a church. And we had some other, and I guess this would be for your listeners, a partnership. Way we had two longtime members, one of whom is widowed, who has been in the community seemingly forever, and another who has been in the community for decades. And they both had kind of from time to time had aspects where they had led prayer and they had put in time and they had put in sweat and energy and all those sorts of things. And it had just kind of over time fallen away. And here I am, and I'm having breakfast one morning with his Tamil brother, and we're talking, and he said, "I remember when I moved to America, my wife and I were just so dependent upon prayer." Like he said, "I remember that when we bought our first house, it would be, we would just go and we would just pray over it every day." And he's like, "The longer that we've been in the States, the more I've noticed I don't rely as much on prayer." Mm-hmm. I kind of say, "Okay, well, you know, let me call this subcontractor and see, like, you know, what, you know, is the plumbing, you know, prayer is not my initial direct line." And so I said, "Okay, so we had a conversation, you know, like, so what do you remember? What, like, sparked that initial dependency upon prayer? And how do we relate that in our church?" So again, like, let's not come in and say, "All right, well, this is what our prayer ministry looks like. Let's take a round peg, square hole. What does it look like?" But let's say, like, let's just throw out and say, "All right, let's take our Bibles and let's say, all right, so what would this look like? What was your experience when you were, you know, in Tamil Nadu? Like, what did your church there do? Like, what, you know, what ideas, what things?" And so, man, it is that. And then he has come alongside those other two individuals who put decades into our prayer ministry. And like 2 weeks ago, we did with all this pandemic stuff hitting, we decided, like, April 2nd, let's just set aside as a day of prayer at our mm-hmm. church.
Yeah.
And we had people signing up for 15-minute spots, and every one of those spots was filled. Mm-hmm. We had where several of those spots were filled, not by, like, long-term members of Green Level Baptist Church, but were filled by folks in these ethnic studies mm-hmm. and these groups. Mm-hmm. And then we had a gathering that evening virtually for mm-hmm. prayer meeting. And that meeting was one of, if not the largest prayer gathering that we've had.
Wow.
And it has just breathed life into, like, it is. And I think that was, you know, I know that's one example, but it is coming from a, and I know this can be a preachy term, but Kevin, I want to give this example. It is coming from the position of, so many times it's easy to think, and I know majority, minority terms get thrown around, so let's use it, brothers. So let's say, like, I think, okay, well, I'm the older brother in this scenario, and you're my younger brother. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do is say, well, we're going to do things my way because I'm the older brother and I've been here. But, you know, part of being in a Christian community is, like, we have a father. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, like, we don't want to do something because, hey, I'm the older brother here, we want to do this. We're going to say, like, what does dad say we should do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sometimes I'm not going to look at the position of, I'm an older brother to my younger brother. I'm going to say, hey, brother, sister, like, what has God taught you? And then what can I look at and see? And so, like, in addition to that, and just meeting my conversations with some of the folks like that we partnered with and in our church family, realizing, you know, there's a great book out there for your listeners called 3D Gospel. Mm. But it is about, you know, sort of this idea where there's kind of the gospel's three dimensional. And in the Western world, we tend to view the gospel through the lens of guilt and innocence. Mm-hmm. And sort of in the Caribbean, African world, they see the gospel through fear and power. And in the majority of the world, which actually includes, like, South Asia, East Asia, it's actually honor and shame. Mm. And what I realized was, in my own preaching, right, I probably have never given a lot of thought to what, like, how someone is hearing the gospel through the lens of honor, shame. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the really, like, neat things now is that even once you get that picture, and I'm going to add this on and then turn it over to Angela. Like I mentioned, our prayer ministry, even some things where we tend to be like, man, that, you know, like, Western church, like, we've grown tired of that. That's something that's old ministry. Like, Kevin, something that has been a joy that we have done over the last several years is caroling at Christmas. Mm, like, uh-huh. We have a lot of our neighborhoods are upwards of like 80 new neighborhoods around our area are like upwards of 80 to 90% non-Anglo. Mm-hmm. And they have only experienced caroling like on a movie. And so last year, like at the end of 2019, we went caroling again. That's not organized by, you know, that's through our music ministry, but that's all being coordinated by, you know, non-Anglo folks. And mm-hmm. they're taking us into their neighborhood. And I mean, one of the kids in our church looked at his mom and said, "Mom, is this like Halloween?" Mm-hmm. Because like we're going and like singing songs, and all of those homes are like baking us bread. They're baking treats for us. Mm-hmm. And man, it is like we are now in living rooms. We're having conversations with people. And it'd be like, oh man, a church is gonna go caroling? Like that seems like something from, you know, that's like from, you know, like a Jimmy Stewart movie in the 1950s or something. Right. But it is something where God has just breathed new life into that ministry. And that has happened through, you know, through partnership and listening to, right? So many times we're just busy talking. Mm-hmm. And listening to, you know, hey, what do our other brothers and what do our neighbors, like what are they communicating and listening to that? So I hope I answered your question. I'd love to hear what Angela says about that.
Yeah. Dive in, Angela.
Yeah, I definitely am more of the administrative and planning kind of leg of a lot of these initiatives, but I can tell you, and to echo again what David said, we are new to this. I think initially when we were having planning meetings and David and I were talking about outreach, we probably thought we were being led more to the Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. He has a background in Spanish, as do I. You know, my best friend is from El Salvador, mm-hmm. and I grew up in Texas, in Houston. So, you know, it just seemed kind of like this is a natural fit. These are communities we know how to communicate with them. We know their traditions and this kind of stuff. And then God pretty quickly shut that down. And I repeatedly pray, you know, for clear guidance and God just to close those doors. But sometimes mm-hmm. when he does, you don't know where the next door will open.
Right.
But he really began to open our eyes with, I think, probably the Easter egg hunt and bringing a couple different families into our church that said the community that's around you is Asian and East Asian. And honestly, those were communities that we probably knew the least about. Mm-hmm. Just what did their family structures look like? What were their traditions? What is their religious basis? You know, what I know a lot about Hindu or Buddhism. And so there was a pretty big learning curve, but thankfully the Lord placed these other people and these other brothers and sisters in Christ who were from those areas in our path who were seeking meeting places and seeking partnerships so that we could get into how to minister to them. And so when we do things, we consult them, you know, and right now our Sunday morning service doesn't look a lot different than it did probably 5 years ago. As far as the demographic, it's our Awana program is very different. And when we have an event, the people who show up, the people who volunteer look very different. When the new space opens, when we hopefully come back together and can meet in person again, we do hope that we have an extra meeting space where simultaneously, you know, a Chinese church or speaking church could be held or a Tamil group could be worshiping simultaneously with us. Mm-hmm. What we have learned is a lot of these families who are in our neighborhoods in these new areas are first generation. Mm-hmm. And so they really want to worship in their own language. And I totally get that. I mean, if God put me in India right now, I would be seeking the first, you know, English speaking, you know, service with people who look like me just for comfort. But what they have communicated with us is that their children want to worship with American kids in English. And so they have, you know, asked us, can our children participate with your children? And so we really are trying to look at this in a long-term, you know, timeline. So we're not just partnering with this individual group and these individual people, but what does this partnership look like and how is it going to grow and morph over the next decade and over the next, you know, 20 years when these kids are now grown and our children have strong relationships with them and what have they learned from us and what can we learn from them
yes.
is really important. So anytime we have a prayer gathering or an Easter egg hunt or ways that, you know, are not our Sunday morning service, mm-hmm. not to say that we don't, you know, invite them to participate or that we don't want to partner with them during that time, but on these extra things, it seems like the walls kind of come down a little bit easier
yeah.
and that those partnership opportunities are there for us to join together. And they have been so open to participating and to giving us insight into how we can best do that. And so when we moved our Easter egg hunt off of our church premises, part of that was because we had received feedback, like, they're not going to come to your church. Mm-hmm. It's just different, you know? And so we thought, well, then our church had to kind of change its mentality. And like David said, we changed the thinking of the building. We're not building this for us. This event is not for our children. Mm-hmm. This event is for our community. And how can we love them and show the love of Christ to them? So we're going to do it offsite. Mm-hmm. And God just blessed that in a way that, you know, we joke that it was kind of like The Walking Dead, that first Easter egg hunt. People were just coming out of the woods, you know, and we just didn't know what we were going to do and how it was all going to work out. And he just put all the pieces together and has allowed us to continue to build on that and to develop those relationships. And we're just excited that, you know, we are trying to really lay this foundation for these multi-ethnic relationships and yes. that we just are excited to see the fruit of that, not just in the immediate, but in these generations to come.
And now, a story from the mission.
I want to share with you a story of how a club sandwich is not always a club sandwich. And often, we as Americans face a rude awakening when we are moving into something with an American expectation. It is 1998, my very first experience ever in India, and we have been out in the rural village, very limited cuisine that we would consider edible, but and it was just rice and beans and some protein along the way. Every single night, very spicy food, very difficult. We go to the airport to fly back, and we're in a restaurant in an airport, and in 1998 they didn't have the McDonald's and all of the branded restaurants that you're going to find today. And this was just a local restaurant inside of the hotel, but on the menu they had all of the Indian cuisine that would be customary, and then they had a club sandwich. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, are you serious? I would love a club sandwich. Actually, I'd love a cheeseburger. They're not going to offer that at this time in India, but I would love a club sandwich. So I asked for the club sandwich. Oh my goodness, this club sandwich was nothing as you would expect in India, in the USA. There was no cold cuts of turkey and ham and bacon and cheese. There was some recognizable bread. There was some type of tuna spread on it. There was some cucumbers and some other things, but it was so far remote from a club sandwich. And it was just one of those moments where all you can do is grin and bear it because your expectations are your own fault and nothing to do with the beautiful people of India.
We want to provide some local love to Colliers International, located in North Carolina. They are a leading global real estate services and investment management company, and their CEO, Jim Anthony, has supported causes such as The Healing Place, Jobs for Life, The Salvation Army, Raleigh Rescue Mission, Shepherd's Table, Step Up Ministry, and many pro-life organizations like Gateway and Birth Choice. He also supports pastors, ministries, schools, and youth workers around the world. Thank you, Jim, for your gift of generosity and how you exhibit Christ in your community. Check out their website at www.colliers.com.
Want tools to help increase the effectiveness of your church's efforts to reach the internationals in your community? Global Hope India has 20 years experience and can empower you to live the dream like we see in Revelation chapter 7 of every nation, tribe, and tongue worshiping Christ. Check out our resources like this podcast and other resources at globalhopeindia.org. Reach out today.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
Catch this. The total population of all Asian countries in 2019 is 4.6 billion people. Not only does that cover the entire 1040 window, but that is two-thirds of the Earth's total population. There are 7.3 billion people alive on Earth today, and 4.6 billion identify themselves as Asian, coming from an Asian country. So Asians represent two-thirds of the total Earth's population. And Asians are the smallest group of Christians in the world. Foreign-born Asians are the fastest-growing population of internationals in the USA. And the population of Asians in the US is expected to double in the next 15 years. So never in the history of the church has there been a better opportunity to reach Asians with the gospel than today. And as your church, our church, reaches foreign-born internationals, they will reach other foreign-born internationals. Now that's truly changing the world. So you both have highlighted two very practical outreach events. I'm just wondering if you have more tools up your sleeve. The egg hunt, what an incredible opportunity the Lord put in your lap there. And I just love the heart that you have expressed of the people that really opened up their hearts and made that possible, even the willingness to move it off of the church property and over to a neutral setting within the community. But then I also love the example of the care lane at Christmas. And I have not experienced that, but it resonates in my mind of how effective that is, because I have seen people of other nationalities really value, like you can go to India where it is predominantly Hindu and they will be playing Silent Night in the mall. Wow. They really value our Christmas carols. And you may not get to have expressions of the gospel any other time, but in Christmas, they're going to be playing Silent Night and Oh Come All You Faithful and that. They may not even realize that it is a Christian hymn, but it's being played in very secular settings all over a predominantly Hindu nation like that. And so there is a value for Christmas carols, and I just love that. Is there any other things that God's shown you that are effective in bringing the nations together?
So what I would say, Kevin, is I'm really bad at doing this. I'm going to laugh because Angela's going to laugh probably because she has a certain staff meeting. I'm going to say that there are concrete examples, and I'll give us a couple in a second. But I would say that for any of your listeners, my conviction is it has to be a fundamental heart and posture change. Mm. So no matter what it is, you have to change the conversation about that particular item. And so other things are like treating a symptom, and like let's step back and say, okay, so what's the root, right? So like right now I'm outside and I'm looking around at weeds in my house, and I can go and I can pull a weed up, but I've got to get it from the root. And so if we really want to see change, right, we want to change it from the root. And so I think that begins to, and Angela mentioned this earlier with the decision about like how we're going to do the Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. It is a Philippians 2 mindset. Mm-hmm. And that occurs in the church and in the community, which is we're going to do nothing out of selfish ambition, rivalry, or conceit, but in humility, we're going to count others as more significant than ourselves.
I love that.
when we say, all right, we're going to do an Easter egg hunt, right? Mm-hmm. We don't start with the idea of like, and Angela again has to be a little bit more responsible for the nuts and bolts, but we're not starting with like, this is the budget, we can't go higher. Mm-hmm. We start with what would this look like for like folks in our community, for us to engage our community, right? Like Tim Keller said, if your church ceases to be, would your community notice, right? So like, if we don't do the egg hunt, like who notices, right? Is it like, oh man, my kid who's in Sunday school every week, you know, like we want them there. My kids are those kids, right? Like I want my kids to be able to do that as well. Mm-hmm. But also it's thinking like, okay, well, I want to count my neighbor as more significant than myself.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm going to plan this, like let's plan it with putting them in the seat of honor. So let me give it. So Angela is a fit also teaches fitness, right? So yeah. One of the things is like, I mean, this is a conversation that we had as a staff, as an example. So we were thinking about doing a community Bible study with fitness, right? And offering that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of, you know, let's put it, I'm trying to think of the best way to term this, but just, you know, like Anglo-Americans, like you hear yoga, like, okay. Like, I mean, that is what it is. And so we've learned, though, you know, like some of that, like there's a worldview tied up. And so what we did is we went to our Tommel brothers and sisters and said, like, what would this sound like if that word is included in what we do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want to know, like, how is that going to be heard? Like, how, like, when you hear that, what comes to your mind? So, like, when we talk about Awana, right? Like, so our Chinese Bible study meets on Friday, our Tommel group meets on Saturdays. Like, why do you guys meet on those nights, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, and then why do we meet on Wednesday nights? Mm-hmm. Like, why is Awana traditionally on Wednesday nights? Like, should that be the night that we continue to do it? Like, why are you guys meeting on Friday? Why are you guys meeting on Saturday? And then, like, we want to make it a priority that we're not, like, conflicting in our times of meeting. And again, like you said earlier, we're not like ships, you know, just all docked in a building, mm-hmm. but we are a people of God in a community. Mm-hmm. And so just like that sort of posture in how we approach, and again, like we're not there, we have a long way to go. And so I would say, like, more than the particulars, like we're really in the state of, we're beginning to see those ministries happen, but we're really kind of going through what we do and trying to ask that question, like of everything that we do, like, God, is this what we should be doing? And then are we doing this because it is comfortable and we know it well, and we're asking other people to sort of conform to what we're doing? Or are we saying, okay, God, is this what you are calling us to do? And this is going to have the greatest impact for your glory, our good as a church, and the spread of your gospel from our neighborhoods, you know, to the nations. Mm. And that's really, I would say, for any listeners that you'd have, like, that would be my encouragement, is it's got to be a more posture. And I, like, personally try to put my life where that is. Like, I started out, Kevin, with pursuing a doctorate of ministry several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my project started off by writing a devotional for our church family. I mean, mm-hmm. that was my doctoral project.
Mm-hmm.
My doctoral project right now is helping Green Level and other churches, like Southern Baptist churches like Green Level, learn how to reach out to Central and South Asian communities.
Wow.
Like, I mean, it is. And like, I love what you said earlier about the, you know, this pandemic, there's been other things that have been, but the whole world is sharing this now.
Yeah.
And it is realizing, you know what, it's not just like some of that, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is the best way sometimes, like the first step in ministering to, in reaching the nations, is for us, is just literally walking across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's a, And again, that's a posture, that's an attitude change. And so what we want to do is, like, I know I've mentioned Awana and the prayer and the Easter egg hunt and caroling, but with all that we do, I mean, like, we are even looking at the potential of, like, Sunday school classes. Like, what is that like to offer a Sunday school class that is taught in Mandarin or in Tamil, you know, or in Hindi, right? And so, you know, and then how are we teaching the gospel and discipling in a way that is, you know, preaching the God, like getting the gospel into other worldviews that are not just our own. Mm-hmm. And like Angela mentioned, the t-shirt this year, when we were going to have the Easter egg hunt, we were thinking strategically about not just, hey, we did a great, you know, we had 10,000 eggs, we gave it out, went successful, you know, we did all that, we had good register. We were thinking, like, how do we build relationships? And mm-hmm. And I would say, Kevin, as much as it would be great to say, man, our Awana ministry has these demographics, what gets me excited is if your family is, like, inviting, you know, your Tamil neighbor or your Hindi neighbor, you know, over to your home, and you guys are sharing a meal and you guys are striking up a relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I think that during this time, and I'm getting preachy, I'm sorry, but I think during this time, you know, like, you read the New Testament and the church scattered because of the persecution. Mm-hmm. And all we are is the church scattered because of the pandemic. Yeah. And it's and I think that there's so much in the New Testament for us to glean from that. And you know, just because we can't gather physically on a Sunday, the idea that ministry somehow shuts down. So I would say some of that multinational ministry is not confined to, I guess, some of the building blocks that we typically think. It is how am I equipping your family to partner in other families? And then your sphere of ministry as a follower of Christ is multi-generational, multinational. And so, you know, and that can be replicated in your life as well. Because the truth is, Kevin, like, Angela's kids, my kids, like, we're all in the school system here, and my kid is in kindergarten, and so far, all of his best friends through preschool and through kindergarten, none of them have been Anglo. Mm. So, you know, I mean, that is our community, and it is exciting because it's also what God is doing in history. Yes. And so it's more saying, you know, again, I've become preachy, but it's the posture change.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I really hope that I can get a copy of your dissertation, even if I have to pay for it whenever it's done. Is it finished yet? Where are you?
Record. I'll give it to you for free.
Yeah. So well, good. Everyone heard
you
that.
You might be the only one
who reads
it.
Okay. I will definitely read it. And I can't imagine that I'd be the only one. So our time is out. You have been so gracious and gone over, and I just really appreciate that. Angela, you have anything you want to add to what Pastor David just shared?
Yeah, I think really we've just been guided by those partnerships that we've developed, that these events and these posture changes and these conversations have been born out of relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, you know, like he said before, just kind of dictating, this is what we're doing for you. For a long time, our conversation shifted, what can we do for our community, into what can we do with them? Mm-hmm. We want them to know we are with them, not just cheering along, you know, cheering them along from the sidelines, but we want to be running the race with them. And so that looks very different than a lot of our traditional ministries have in the past. And so it can be uncomfortable. There's a learning curve. But I think a lot of times we just need to kind of get out of the way and let God work all that stuff out. And we just are open to the change and, you know, trying to be who he wants us to be in this community, and he will nurture and foster those relationships. And so it's really been more exciting for us, you know, when we show up and we see the people coming, it's the relationships born from those events and the things that we learn are such a blessing to our church community. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, instead of looking at it, how can you bless them? Really, you're just going to be so surprised by the blessings that pour out of those relationships and those new things that you learn. So mm-hmm. yeah, it, it's exciting to be part of it.
Yeah. Well, that is very well said. And I love that we can end with that. Not what can we do for them, but what can we do with them? There's a big difference there. And I love, really, one of the themes of this conversation has just been, don't rush into programs as much as just allow God to impact your heart. Let it begin in your heart. And all of these other things, you'll figure out the logistics. And I love how you're even wrestling through Sunday school right now and a lot of different things. And thank you so much for just exposing this heart. And I it's been very practical, and I really hope that our listeners will be encouraged to just allow God to cultivate that heart that He has given Green Level and multiply it around the world, because our communities have changed. And so let our churches transform to match the transformation God's brought to our communities. Pastor David, Angela, thank you so much. I really expect this is going to be the beginning of multiple conversations, because you are a wealth of knowledge and experience. But keep up the good work. Thank you for all you do. I love you guys, and just pray God's blessing over you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Love you too,
Kevin.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/dream and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We'll randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.